This is a sound you should pray you never hear in person. It's the sound of an earthquake, not just any earthquake. You're listening to the Tohoku Japanese earthquake on March 11th, 2011. It was a magnitude 9.1, one of the largest ever recorded. The tsunami that followed caused the nuclear disaster at Fukushima. This sound, recorded at the surface near the epicenter, is condensed from 2 hours of audio. Geophysicist Ben Holtzman has been collecting and recording sonic signatures of earthquakes, like these, for years. He's the founder of the Seismodome, the earthquake simulator at the American Museum of Natural History in New York. And Charles Monroe Kane, who loves big sounds, wanted to know how you can actually listen to an earthquake.
If you're very close to where the earthquake source was and the crack that ruptures the surface and you see a displacement of the ground, there'll be enough high-frequency energy to actually hear that's transmitted into the air.
So it sounds like, though, you wouldn't want to be in that space where you can actually hear.
You don't want to be anywhere near that, no.
So how do you then record these sounds?
So we're taking data from seismometers, which are like very, very sensitive microphones that are attached to the ground or even in hold in the ground. But they're taking vibrations of the ground and converting those into electrical signals.
We have a lot of recordings we're going to talk about, but one of them I found so fascinating is you have this one recording of earthquakes that sent sound waves all the way across the earth and then back again. I'm not even sure how to wrap my head around that. Like, so what are we listening to right now?
It's a lot like when you throw a pebble into a pond and you see the waves propagate away from where the pebble hit, except that in this case, the pond is a sphere. So they'll emanate out from the source and then focus on the other side of the planet and then keep going. So any earthquake bigger than a magnitude 4.5 or so will send waves that go all the way around the planet.
And then what we're listening to right now is from the Sumatra earthquake. Can you tell me a little bit more about that earthquake so we can understand what we're listening to?
Yeah, so that is one of the biggest earthquakes ever recorded. You can think of that crack that ruptured this boundary between two plates. And that crack was about the length of California.
Wow.
And it propagated. So the tip of the crack moved about the length of California in about 13 seconds. Okay. And sent that seismic energy around the planet. It was so large that that energy, the planet kept vibrating for about 3 months or so.
Wow. Does that have a physical effect? I mean, do we feel it?
Yeah, so we wouldn't feel it directly. So in New York, the ground went up and down about a centimeter. But it happened too slowly for us to feel, right? So it went up and down in maybe 100 seconds on that order.
You know, I have this friend, she's a pretty close friend who lives in Berkeley, born and raised there. And she said she still never gets used to earthquakes. They're very disconcerting for her. When you come to the sea, you know, you kind of expect the sea to be a tempest, you know, to be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the ground, I think we all see as the ground as solid, right? You go up on solid ground, it's meant to be solid. She said when the earth moves, she feels like she's betrayed by the natural world. The earth isn't solid, is it?
The earth is basically a liquid with a kind of a crust on it. The mantle is always convecting. So in millions of year timescales, the interior is basically like a pre-boil. It's overturning, it's churning, right? Driven by the heat coming out. And that's what's driving the plates. And then the plates, where the earthquakes are this very, very thin layer that's just cold enough so that there's elastic energy that builds up across faults where they're stuck. And then they're stuck and stuck and stuck until the energy passes through some threshold and then gets released suddenly as an earthquake. So you can think of it as like a big soup with a crust on top.
Man, that doesn't make me feel like I'm on solid ground at all.
You're not, yeah.
You're not, okay. Let's keep that in mind.
No, change your reference frame and you'll be fine.
All right, thank you very much.
Tell your friend.
Hey, I'll call her and I'm sure she'll feel really better after this.
Yeah.
Not only do you have these sounds that you get from the earthquakes, you also have this amazing collection of accidental recordings by people who happen to be recording when an earthquake happens. Take us to Friuli, Italy in 1976.
Yeah. So there was this teenager transferring a vinyl, a record of Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here. The P wave arrives. So these are what dogs pick up. You hear a scratch, and that's the S wave arriving, and then the rumble. And then you hear people starting to yell.
It takes about 20 seconds for the P wave to hit before you hear the human reaction, the child crying for her,
wow,
for the mother, the chaos.
Yeah.
So is that how long it takes? Is there a 20-second lag that we have before we know an earthquake starts from studying these waves? That doesn't seem like very much time to know it.
Here's an illustration of how we can use that. So in Japan, they have it by far the highest density of seismometers over the largest area on Earth. And they use it to send out early earthquake warning across the country, so they can tell immediately roughly how big and where an earthquake is. They can stop a bullet train or slow a bullet train down through the whole train network across the country the moment that they register an earthquake that's above some threshold.
In 20 seconds?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like 20 seconds is enough time to send off an alarm to hopefully get people out of their houses or buildings or under a table and to slow trains down.
There's a modern sound, a fairly recent earthquakes that to me were the scariest. They're from Oklahoma. Can you tell me why we're having earthquakes in Oklahoma, yeah, and how you study those?
Yes, I can. A few states allow injection of wastewater from fracking for natural gas extraction. One of those states is Oklahoma that allows those fluids to be stored underground. And so they're taking those fluids and injecting them into rock formations that used to have oil in them that they took out years ago. So there are a lot of holes in those reservoirs. And they're injecting that fluid at high pressure, very high pressure, because they want it to go deep into that reservoir and stay there. So because it's at high pressure, it has been affecting old faults. And so these faults get kind of pried open and triggered, and stresses that people didn't really know were there get released. So Oklahoma now has more earthquakes than California.
Oh, Jesus, that's incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
Ben Holtzman is a geophysicist and founder of the Earthquake Simulator at the American Museum of Natural History in New York, the Seismodome.